I'm so thankful that we have these chances now to get ready for Pesach. Amen. And together with the teachings of someone who I think we would all agree was the most Ben-Chorin, one of the most free individuals we've ever come across. I had the privilege of learning from, and that is the Tzaddik, the Kohen HaGadol, Rav Kook. So happy we're learning Rav Kook. I don't know when his name came back recently.
You mentioned
it on Shabbos.
Right? It was on Shabbos? Yeah.
We have been learning Rav Kook in so long. What was the context there? I forget what it was about.
He was talking about the Zachar with Amalek.
Oh, Rav Kook, right. Hamochek al menat lichtov. Right. Nachon. Wow. So Baruch Hashem. So I'm glad we're here, and I'm really happy we have this chance to learn this piece. We'll do a lot of Pesach Hachanas. And Rav Kook is going to be addressing something that we have a chance to really fix and really tap into on Pesach, Seder night. Something that Rav Kook, as you see over here, speaks about, which is really the most torturous thing to man's soul. And that is feeling like you have a place. Feeling like you have a place in this world. Feeling like you're rooted and feeling like you're not uprooted, like he's talking about in the first words here. Just feeling like you have what's called a ma'amad, a place in this world. So Rick, I'm going to go right inside over here. This is Ma'amarei HaRe'aya, one of the Ma'amarim, discourses of Rav Kook. Halayla hazeh kulanu mesugim. Now that means, what does that mean on Seder night? That when we say halayla hazeh, this night, kulanu, we are all, what does mesubin mean? We're lean, but what's the reference? What are we speaking?
Kingly,
we're free, we're comfortable. Mm-hmm. We are not worried right now. That's really what kulanu mesubin means.
What's the shorash of mesubin?
Hasava means to lean. That's lehasev. Ha'adam hatalush. Rav Kook calls he calls it out what it is. Ha'adam hatalush, the uprooted, the plucked, like tlisha means like litlosh perot tapuchim, to pluck. Apples. Ha'adam ha'talush, the plucked man. We'll figure out what that means in a second. Zoi hazva'a hayoter machrida et ha'neshama. This is the most torturous thing for the soul. To feel that you're a plucked individual. That you're not really anywhere, or that you were somewhere. That's really what talush means.
Detached.
If you never had a place, you're not detached because you were never attached. If you did have a place once, and then you're removed, then you're detached, and then you're plucked, you're removed. Ha'adam uchrachu shielo ma'amad. Man must have a place. Ma'amad literally means a statute, right? V'shem ma'amado yeh bilti mitnoded. And it should be a non-wandering statute. You and I know that when we are in modes of kvius, of consistency, even if we're not flying spiritually, we feel most powerful. When we can do anything like that. Bilti mitnoded, non-wandering. Hagalut, mau ikar tzarata. What is the most painful thing about exile? Bayomer hatlishut. This sense of feeling detached. Of feeling plucked, feeling removed. Ayom me'od hadavar she'adam margish שבמובן ידוע ועיקרי, הרי הוא תלוש, מתנודד, פורח באוויר. So this is a horrible thing. When man feels that he's detached, that he's wandering, פורח באוויר means that he's floating in the air. עמדתו על הבסיס הטבעי.
Doesn't פורח mean blossoming?
Yeah, but not. But blossoming usually has like a beautiful, positive
connotation.
Here he means you're not grounded. That you don't have a place here, so you're just wandering in the air.
You mentioned like plucking a fruit. You think about the fruit gets all its sustenance from the tree, which is rooted, and then you're disconnected. That's where you got all your life force, all your stuff. Now you're just
yeah. עמדתו על הבסיס הטבעי, על גבי הקרקע, איננו עמדה כלל, מפני שאין הקרקע שלו. The land that you walk on makes you feel like that it doesn't give you any grounding. Why? Because the land that you're on is not yours. You're in the... This is, what is he referring to right now? In this line. The Jew living in the physical Galus. Now, of course, he's going to be speaking about the spiritual state of mind as well, but he's also referring to you could feel all the things in the world when you're, like, spiritually speaking, but when you're a Jew, not in your homeland, this karka is not yours, it's not your place. That's being detached from where you're supposed to, from where you once were. He's describing, you know, 2,000 years right now.
Terrible sense of paradox. You're walking on solid ground. Every step you take, and it's not yours.
And it's nothing. It's not yours. It's unbelievable. מפני שבכל יחושיה איננה קניינו. This is not... In all the relationships you have with the place that you're dwelling on, it's not your acquisition. ולא קניין עמו. And it's not the acquisition of your people. The Gemara goes so far, and look what it says here. The Gemara says, כל אדם שאין לו קרקע, אינו אדם. Now, that, I don't think that necessarily means a person that doesn't own real estate is not considered a man, although that's how modern man has come to certain situations of feeling. But what the Gemara means over here is that when you're not shayach, when you're not connected, like the way we're understanding it, the way Rav Kook is understanding it, is that when you're not connected to your karka, you're not really considered an adam.
We see in halacha, the only thing that you establish any kind of permanence over in terms of kinyan is land. Everything else you eventually will give up on, but not land.
Yeah, that's why it's interesting. That's why, you know what real estate is called in Hebrew?
Nadlan.
You know, that's Rashi Tevot.
Yeah.
For what?
I don't know what it's the acronym.
Do you know what it is? It's so funny about modern Hebrew.
I'm eager to know.
Nichse de lo... Nichse de lo... Naichi, I think. It's Aramaic, about properties that don't move. Nadlan.
Well, in French, it's immobilier, right?
Also, sure, I'll take your
word. Non-movable, right?
Non-movable, yeah. Right. That's what nadlan means, but it's an Aramaic, it's a concept from the Gemara.
It's like
when
your taker is being used, right?
Zoti hatzara. This is the pain, the fear. צרת הדורות של ישראל מהסגלה מהרצון מאז נדד בגויים. This is what we have struggled with, Am Yisrael, since we've been exiled from our land and since we've been wandering amongst the nations. אמנם במצב של תלישות, in this state of detached, of being plucked, לא די שקשה לחיות. It's not just that it's hard to live. אלא שבמובן הכללי והדורי אי אפשר כלל להתקיים. He's saying, really, it should be that it's be not just is it hard to get by when you feel detached, it's almost impossible to exist when you're in this state of being unplucked or being plucked. Val ken chok history, who he says the historic law, what he really means to me is like history will tell you she kibbutzim atlushim avad shman uzichram bezman katzar lefi ha'erech. Wandering people have faded away. They don't exist. Which is going to bring our reality that much more miraculous. But I don't know, you know, who exactly he's referring to, because a lot of these people we don't even know of.
Except the difference is that we always had the land. We might not have been in it.
He's gonna get there in a second, but what are some examples of, like, you know,
I mean, like with, are... with the Native Americans, when they were able to have their land, and like when they were able, they blossomed, they flourished a society. But as soon as they were not able to have their land and have control of their land.
But there are still Native Americans in the world. I want to just give examples of...
They were also, like, eating each other and murdering each other.
Guys, okay. Stop. I want to talk about peoples that don't live in... We don't know. What I'm trying to say is there's so many, we don't even know.
If we knew about them, then they would still exist.
Then there's some kind of an existence, exactly. There's so many peoples we don't even know of. Because they lived in a constant state of tlisha till...
Until they
absorbed into another culture.
So it's very clear that of course it's going to say, hey, Jew, why didn't you fade? Why didn't you fade? Pesach night, you sit down and you say, why didn't I fade away? How could it be? So he's going to prepare us for such a beautiful thing. Ach bepele, wondrously, lemala mikola nahug, when the second paragraph, bechukei akiyum shel kol ha'amim, he's saying, go above the natural law of what should be regarding how you last and survive. Am Yisrael chai ad ko vehitkayem im gam kiyum shel tzar u'machovim gam b'matzav tzlishuto. Us Jewish people, we even despite the horrific pain. In the beginning, he calls it a zva'a. You know what a zva'a means? Oh, it's a zva'a. Zva'a is like atrocious. He's saying, despite levels of existence on an atrocious level, we have still lasted, despite everything, even in a state of being detached and plucked. Ve'lo'od, not only that. Ela she'era gvurot beruchu ha'gadol, gam bechol ha'ma'avarim ha'shonim shel galuyotav. He's also shown tremendous strength and bravery in all of its different ma'avarim, its changes and transitions throughout its galut. Kshe'anu danin l'da'at ma'u ha'koach asher al yado yitgaber al ha'tzara ha'ayuma shel ha'tlishut. So when we sit down and try to figure out what is the strength that enabled us to still exist and really not just exist but thrive at certain points and go beyond the laws of nature, the laws of historical nature, ve'omer, Shemeaz, the forever, really since Har Sinai, Kanalo ha'am haniflaze metziut kfula. We acquired a double reality. It's a very interesting phrase here. Metziut kfula, a double state of reality. Umimela gam ma'amad kaful. So we also, since we lived in a double state of reality, we also acquired for ourselves a double state of stature, a status. The karka ruchanit betucha, stable spiritual ground. Shehi matza etan lenishmato, which is, you know what a matza is, because all the political parties now say that. Matza means platform. It's a rock solid platform for our souls. And we took this with us, asher ota lakachimo gam bechol yemei nedudav, Ha'aretz ha'ruchanit ha'atzilit ha'elona hazot, hi Torah Hashem. He's saying, at Har Sinai, God basically gave us real estate, but it's nichsei denaychi. It is real estate that moves with you. He's saying, and we took that with us wherever we went, and that provided for us the platform for our neshamas to feel that we are an Adam, even though, really, Adam, like the Gemara says, without a karka, he's not an Adam. He's saying that's the only thing. It's not this like gene in the Jewish DNA that has like Braveheart syndrome. Like, it's a pretty weird oxymoron because it's Mel Gibson, whatever. You know what I mean? It's not like, it's a very weird thing because it's not this like gene of like, oh, you guys are warriors. It's just, it's in you. No, it's that there was an acquisition, acquiring. What was that? The Torah. What did the Torah do for us? It put the Jew into a double state of metziut. It's a reality. I'm living on a different level. I carry with me something where I feel rock solid, even though I shouldn't feel rock solid at all. Like, how did the Jew in Vilna, 400 years ago, feel that he has a place in this world? How could it be? How did he do it? And now we're going to say something even crazier. How does a Jew in America of 2019 feel? How does it work? How does it work? So don't worry, we're not exempting everyone from saying that. We're not saying, that's enough. You see, you have a Torah, you don't need a karka. But he's explaining how we lasted for this long. HaTorah, Torat Chayav, the Torah of his life, Asher Kashar Ota Im Rucho, Kesher Bal Yinatek, the Torah connected man with his own spirit, a connection that cannot be disconnected. He Asher Hitzila Oto Mitlush Tlishuto, HaChomrit, Shelo Tashpia Alav Ad Lezvaat Kilyon. The only reason why we didn't fade away like the other people, the infinite amount of other peoples, is because we had something that didn't allow us to fade away. It's something that connected us with our spirit. And when you're connected with your spirit, despite the length of your own personal exile, communal exile, you just can't fade away. It's what the Torah did to us. V'hayom, today, and Rav Kook's writing this 100 years ago, right? Kasher anu baruch Hashem be'ezrat Hashem holchim v'shavim el artzeinu, today as we're returning to our land, holchim u'mitkashrim la'basis shel ha'metziut ha'emdatit. Now, we're returning to the other type of real estate, to the other type of status, like a physical place, a karka, in this world. Ksheragleinu matchilot lidroch al admateinu anu. Do you hear that?
Where
do you hear that outside right now? We're hearing what he's saying. When our legs begin to step on our land, al otah adama admat kodesh, on the same holy land. That never sounded holier, right? Shehinenu margishim bechol chushenu. That we feel, we sense with all our senses, shehim mutzakat tachat pe'ameinu, that it's rock solid under our pe'ima. Our pe'ima is our pulse, like a right?
Yeah, I think it's actually it's also a step.
Oh, pe'imot, tznicha, nachon. By every step we take, ki bebrit Hashem, brit olam, the covenant of God, the everlasting covenant of the world, asher la'ad lo timot hi kshura imanu kesher olam. We're connected with the land which was given to us through a covenant, an eternal connection. And as we come back and be where we physically are supposed to be, together with where we've been spiritually all these years, he says over here, we're getting healed. Hinenu holchim umitrapim. We're becoming healed. Mimachalat tlishutenu hagalutit. From the illness of our galus detachment. ומתוך החלק המברי של העם, and from the more healed part of the people, החלק ההולך ומתקשר עם ארצו, he says, the more healed part of our nation is the part of the nation that's getting closer and closer and more connected with its land. ואם יציקת עמדתו, יציקה, you know what יציקה means?
Founded,
you yes. know, yeah.
But earlier he says, I think he's saying there, when you go back and you connect to the basis, in my language is foundation.
Same thing.
The foundation of your essence. So it's like...
When you build, what's the first thing you put down? Yetzikat beton. Yeah, they call it. It's mamish like the... But right. Then he say in English?
It's a footing. It's footing. The base of the foundation.
He says, when you
Yitzika is footing?
Yitzika is any concrete pouring. But
right.
The first Yitzika.
In a building, right. So he says, that's what happens when you come back here and you're walking here, every foot. You're connecting to really the footing of the status of your people, who you are, where you're supposed to be. What are you doing? What happens when you do this? So A, he says, there's a machala, it's called tzlisha. It calls being plucked. It starts to become healed. But now he says, hinenu mar'ifim resisei emda. We are showering out into the world Resisei emda. We know that word resisim, unfortunately, because of a bad thing. Resisim usually means shards, shrapnel. But he's saying we're showering out resisei emda, the bolts of standing upright into the world. Uvaryut gufa, and the health of the body. Hagoremet gam lenahora me'alia. This causes supernal light when we are standing straight. No galus, that state of galus of the unplucking. The plucking causes you to be a hunchback. But this, you know, Bina always works on me. She always says to me to stand up straight. My posture is, I have to work on it very much. She was stand straight, right? Mm-hmm. Saying Eretz Yisrael brings you to stand straight.
It's interesting because that word about shrapnel, shrapnel is something that affects you without your accepting it or not. So it's our being here is affecting the rest of the nations, whether they accept it or not. It's cuticle shooting into them from us being here.
L'chol am Yisrael, this does it to the whole people, l'agoy kulo, the whole nation, hamit palel tamid derech, that's always davening, meaning there are those that aren't yet here, they've been davening for it for so long, but the fact that we're here doing it, connecting with the Brit Olam, this does send messages of healthy and holy stability to the whole nation. Yeah.
So I'm getting this image, right? You think of the Yeshua Sekelim and all the needs of thought that were spread out.
Right.
And here's like a reversal of that. Here's a spreading out, but it's spreading out to a different
very nice
place.
Very good.
And it
very good.
Brings it all back.
Chazak meod. It's a tikkun nachon. Yafeh meod. Okay, so let's end this with the last paragraph. Aval hayitachen, could it be? Now, so you think right now, he's basically saying, all you have to do to heal is just come back to Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Yid that's sitting in Borough Park, or wherever he's sitting in London, and he's learning 24 hours a day, he's only hearing, when he hears only that, he says, and that's the reason why I don't buy into this whole, you know, Jewish Zionism trip, because it can't be that. And we say to that person, well, you didn't continue it, the next few lines of Rav Kook, because Rav Kook didn't feel like that as well, that it's just about coming here. And we speak about this all the time.
Oh, nationalism. That's the...
If that's it, then I'm sorry. I can't be... And I want to say to them, guess what? If that's it too, I'm not part of it either. Sorry. אבל הייתכן שבמקום שהגוף שלנו הפרטי והלאומי... Could it be that in the place where our body, our private, meaning the individual, and the national body of our people, motzelo matzav linatzel mi ma'arat atlishut, where we find a place where we can be saved from the malignancy that detachment causes, tisha'e dafka haneshama hapratit v'kal v'chomer haklalit tlusha me'emdata. You want? Can we say that that man's status, a Jew's status of finding land in Eretz Yisrael and being in the place that's rock solid for him, can actually have any holy or good or positive effect when the neshama still feels detached?
Limited.
Let's see if he says limited or no. Let's see. Haneshama Yisraelit kshi porachat ba'avir, the Jewish soul, when it's floating, but not in a way, Ari, of like, wow, you're just blossoming beautifully, huh?
Not a way of transcendence.
Right. It's
at the mercy of the wind.
Exactly. That's much better. Tossed by the wind, yeah. At the mercy.
It's like the whole Yom Kippur davening. The whole verse of Yom Kippur.
About the soul.
Right, and we're just fleeting.
Kechalomia. Oof, yeah. Avak porach, that's what's used in Yom Kippur. Dust in the wind, right? He says, "Aneshama Yisraelit kshei porachat ba'avir," when the Jewish soul is just floating in the air, kshein la hayetzikut shel ma'amad ha'chaim b'torah v'mitzvah b'ruach ha'maaseh, when it doesn't have a day that's structured with Torah and with mitzvahs, b'ruach u'maaseh, with spirit and with action, b'sidrei yom yom u'b'chagigut ha'imim ha'chagigim, meaning that the Jewish calendar is not really playing a role by you. It's not the way that your life is. Like, on it, it's so deep. I want to tell you guys, I was watching a short documentary last night about some politician, not a documentary, I saw a clip of a former politician that decided to travel to Germany to do a private investigation of Netanyahu's selling of the submarines a few years ago. It came on. It wasn't that I was searching for. What do I remember from it is that the clip showed that this Jew showed up in Berlin. He said, "Wow, Berlin, Friday afternoon, it's freezing." And I'm thinking, what kind of Yid travels? What do you mean? That's already wrong. Meaning, whatever you're looking for can't be emes because you're not aligned with the way a Jew lives. So whatever your concept of emet that you're trying, unless of course it's pikuach nefesh, I don't think that would fall into the category of pikuach nefesh, right? What do you mean? What do you mean you land Friday after? What does that even mean? You're on a search for emes and you land in Germany. Forget Germany, doesn't mean where you are. You land on a Friday after. What does that even mean? When that's not the way that you live your life, Zmanei simcha v'chagei nedava, im kol mitzvoteim ha'ra'ananot, with all the awakening mitzvahs that the calendar and living according to the time provides and instills within us, ha'mesamchot klayot v'lev, that bring simcha to the kidneys, to the heart, ha'marninot kol nefesh baruach, that bring absolute simcha to the soul, as halo ha'neshama hi tlusha, then your soul is detached, it's plucked. וכמה עצמו מכאבי האמיתיים, וכמה עצמו מכאבי האמיתיים, וכמה גדול הוא ההרס של הגוואלט. How great is its self-destruction when it thinks that it's only about the karka, the physical karka. Al כן, therefore, בכפליים נזכורנה בלילה הזה, all the more so. We have to remember on this holy night, בליל התקדש חג חירותנו, when the holiness of the night of freedom comes about. כי איננו העם, we are the people, אשר אפילו בגלותו לא עבד את איתן עמדתו הרוחנית. Even in our galut, we did not lose the fiercely, powerfully strong spiritual status which we had.
It would be so ironic, right? We carry it all through the gullus and come back here
in order to drop it, right? But the person that's here, it's already next generation. Right. He thinks, despite the fact that I was still like religious, I was still brave enough to make it through. So now that I don't have to be brave enough to make it through like that, I can just be myself without anything.
I think he's going back to this description of everything being doubled. You have this spiritual foundation, and then you have the actual physical karka that provides you an actual foundation. And it sounds like when you're in Galut, you rely so much on the spiritual one that when you get here, some people get lost and say, "Oh, now I'm good. Have my actual foundation. I don't need that anymore."
Right. Right.
He's saying you actually have nothing unless you have both of them.
Correct. Correct.
The permanence comes from the land, but it
but this is where it's tricky. When you're in Galut, but you still have the spiritual, you don't have nothing.
No, I'm saying you have it.
Here,
you're drawing all the strength comes from knowing you have the land. You're just not there yet.
But here,
but you fully
if you just have the land, but you drop that, then do you have the land?
No, it's not fully yet. You don't have it activated in that.
What I'm trying to point out is the difference is that when you're out there, see, I'm talking about the Jew right now that's still in Galus, that he has, what does he have?
At least he has something.
What karka does he have?
Spiritual karka.
He has the spiritual, he called it karka atzilit, meaning the world of nobility. Like, he has something so divine that when you're connected to that, you're connected to your spirit. He's looking at the Jew here and he's saying, that Jew that's here, yes, he's subconsciously fulfilling a mitzvah every second of mitzvah yeshuva aretz. The guy never heard of the mitzvah, he never heard of the word yeshuv, and aretz is like a concept it's a modern day concept. However, the problem is that the person that's here, what does he have? That type of person that's here, what does he actually have if the soul is still plucked and detached?
Nothing really. I mean, because you have the land by default, but it's the very status that got us tossed in the first place. Right? So you just, what, you want to relive this
Correct.
Cycle?
Correct.
It seems like for the person in Galut, their betichut is coming from the fact that they know they have, there's this land that they're not in, but it's there. It seems like all of that betichut is drawn from the foundation of the actual land here.
Are you saying throughout Jewish history or now? Because we're here.
Because we're only because we're here?
No.
Because that's what he's saying.
We never stopped davening towards.
Yeah, but but we're still in Galut.
Agreed.
I just want to bring it a little bit clarified. I think we're going a little bit, just want to keep it clear. But the question we're asking is, right now, the Jew that's not here, okay? What is his sustenance comes from, his place in the world, is due to the same place that kept us alive in Galus all these years. Right? Mm-hmm. What's that? The Brit with the Torah. Mm-hmm. So what does he have now that, and he's still in Galus, what does he have? Does he have solid? Does he have a solid spiritual foundation?
I don't know. I mean, if you look at the,
did we have a solid spiritual foundation for 2,000 years?
I think we had a spiritual foundation, but I also think that you saw.
He uses the word Yetzikah regarding the Jew in Galut.
How then have we had to experience over? And if you look right now, if you look at what's happening in Orthodox Judaism in the United States or in other countries, the kids, the grandkids are. It's being lost. It's not as if there is.
It's not solid.
There's. It's not
there's
like
a structure with no.
I'm not. I don't want to ask the next question.
But he says.
No, you just said the Orthodox families in Galut look at their kids
here too.
Yeah. No. Not here. Not true.
Right. Because here everything is rock solid spiritually.
Compared to that, yes. Because even if the kids go astray, they're still in Hebrew U, and they're still going to marry a Jew and come back. And as opposed to 1 year going astray and then they're marrying just as it's over. Yes, it is rock solid.
Because of the fact of, because you're just basing it because of the fact of a percentage of assimilation. Right?
I mean, it's not just a nuanced percentage difference. It's huge.
I get it, but it's not a spiritual difference.
I think it's also a spiritual difference. There's a much more holistic, it's not like a religion like it is there. Here it's much
Listen,
more
Listen, I of course agree with you. I just like to, I want to see, like, see how far I can get you because to bring it out. Of course. Difference. I'm sitting here trying to convince you. Listen, we could be there, and it's just as strong, even more powerful. Obviously not. This side of Rav Kook needs to be heard more in the world. Mamish, I feel like if this
everyone
side
just
of,
knows the taxi driver.
Yes.
Like the tzaddik outside.
Yeah. This side of Rav Kook, like this is the side we need to. Put on loudspeakers. This nekuda.
That's true.
Okay, let's finish this off. Five lines from the bottom. Ve'al achat kama v'chama b'shuvo el arzo v'chisun emdato. And all the more so when we come back to our land, and we become immune with our status. Shehu olech umitchasen bahen bechol arachav. The person becomes immune to galut and to the effect of detachment of galut when the value of being a yid in Eretz Yisrael becomes the value of your life, which means the Torah. Ata bevo et lechanena. So now the time has come for to be. Lechenena. Right, the time of redemption has come. Zot hi hora'at ha'asava. This is the commandment on Seder night that you lean. Why? Because the Jew in Galut could never lean. Even today there are Jews that are leaning in America, in Europe. You can't lean. You kidding me? You can't lean there. Matzav shel bnei chorim shehem kvuim velo tlushim is a permanent status of a ben chorin, of a free person that's not plucked. Meurim biyasod chayim, involved, integrated into the foundation of your life. Hamezalef alehem shifat chayim lirvaya lechol ma'utam. I mean, sprinkled upon you is the abundance of life, nirvaya. Nirvaya is to Oh, yeah. L'chol ma'utam, for your whole essence, for your body and soul. L'chol avayatam, to all of your existence. Ashrei am shekachan lo. Ashrei am shehashem alokav. Halayla hazeh kulanu mesubin. This night. I mean, it's crazy that I don't know how he would understand halayla hazeh kulanu mesubin outside of the land. Based on this piece. He's saying, tonight, kulanu, all of us, we are mesubin. We're leaning. We're royal. I have a place in this world, and my soul has its place too. Here, I'm fine. Now in Galut, what did I have to do in order to really do Leil Seder to feel halayla kulanu mesubin? I probably had to sing as hard as I could. End of the Seder, l'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habnuya. And I knew, okay, at least I'm going to pray to actually feel what I'm going through right now.
You just got to do it twice.
Right. Yafe. And if it didn't work tonight, I'll do it again tomorrow night, right? Yeah, very good. Halayla hazeh kulanu mesubin, Rav Kook says, tonight is the night that I celebrate the funeral of tlishut, of being detached, of being plucked, of that thing which causes the greatest atrocity to the soul. So I give us a bracha as we get closer to the holiday of Pesach, to the Kedusha of the Chag. We're in the 30 days, we're between the Geula of Purim, the Geula of Pesach, that we invite all the Kedusha that's about to come, all the mitzvahs, every diktuk, and realize every time I imbibe myself with learning a halacha of Pesach, you know who feels more at home? Then this is the soul. I'm preparing another funeral of the matzav of tzlishut that happens Leil Seder. To feel like we, not only do we have a place in the world, we are in the place that we have in this world, both spiritually and physically. When you're in a status like that, then the B'nai Chorin title is real. Is real. Okay. Flying to freedom. You'd probably think, if anyone was trying to figure out, what am I saying politically right now? Which party do I sound like right now? Just the level of Purim?
Faglin.
Faglin.
Jewish party.
Zehut. I'm not saying what this...
You're right.
L'chaim.